Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. We had several assignments over the weekend. So on Friday, notice how much the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions, RL what you see. Our example, the voices, there you go again, why can't you just reflect? Why do you react so much for your Zen training? Belief, getting identified is wrong. And then on Saturday, before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the conversations you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic, RL what you see. Example, the voices, I can't believe you blew it again. You went unconscious when it counted the most. How long have you been practicing? Shouldn't you be able to sidestep ego and facilitate in these situations? What will they think of me if I can't be centered where the karma is more intense, most intense for me? Why don't you do another process map on this? That's always been so helpful. This is the most important thing in my life. I just need to try harder, more practices, more recording. Is it possible that practice can't help me in this situation? Maybe you should just give up. You can't do this anyway. The eyes. Scorekeeper. I can't believe you blew it again. You went unconscious when it counted the most. How long have you been practicing? Shouldn't you be able to sidestep ego and facilitate in these situations? Worried. What will they think of me if I can't be centered when the karma is most intense for me? Cynical. Why don't you do another process map on this? That's been so helpful. Sincere. This is the most important thing in my life. I just need to try harder. More practices, more recordings. Doubting Thomas Thomasina. Is it possible that practice can't help me in this situation? Maybe you should just give up. You can't do this anyway. And then on Sunday, our definition of a subpersonality, aspect of ego, is a collection of beliefs and assumptions and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview, RL what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. Example, scorekeeper tracks wins and losses, successes and failures. Her worldview is that the right person can achieve and deliver a perfect score within a prescribed time frame. Not performing to the expected standard of perfection is shameful. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Laura in Berkeley. Hello, Laura. What are you seeing? Somehow I felt like I was going to get on this morning because I was realizing I haven't done the assignment, and it's the exact same assignment that I didn't do last month and then got on the call.
Aha! Perhaps there's more to this than just accident or coincidence.
Yes, and I'm sort of looking at a very similar process. I mean, last time it was work, and I was sort of looking at the process of feeling like I'm never doing enough. And that's sort of a similar thing is what dropped in for this month, just the process of, which I'm experiencing in real time, of like, you're behind, you're not meeting the standard, you're, you know, sort of what was talked about in the assignment, like, practice is a thing, and, you know, not, and...
This is real, you're not doing it, it's really true. There's really not much more to say about it. You're just failing.
Yeah.
And you're getting, because we keep coming to the same places, right? You're getting to see it. It doesn't matter what the content is. Here's the standard. You're not doing it right. You're not doing enough. You're failing. Here's another content. Yep, same old thing. Pretty soon, you know, it's easy to see, Laura, how we conclude that what the voices tell us about us is true.
Hmm.
Because they tell us the same thing no matter what's going on. So it seems like, well, just pick an area of life. I'm not meeting the standard. I am just a substandard person.
Right, and it's that same stab in the chest, the thing, you know, that I feel when that story comes in. It's like, you know.
Oh, right, because you're trying so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been helpful to think about it in terms of, since we're in the email class, through the lens of my Enneatype, which is a one, you know, everything is about
explaining
getting
it
right,
lot,
doing
it?
Enough.
Yes. Yeah. Perfection.
Yeah.
Not just doing it right and doing enough. That's for mortals. We're talking perfection in everything all the time.
Right, and always. There's this sense that right is like. In some ways, I'm saying it's kind of like right is. It's sort of. I get told that right will be the experience of center, essentially. That feeling of...
Oh, God, isn't that fiendish?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. So when you achieve this perfection, that's what center will feel like. Well, Laura, let me break this to that voice that talks to you, okay? Center feels like unconditional love and acceptance.
And I think that's what I'm told being right will feel like, you know, it's like that.
Yeah. But those are not the same.
Because
being right then gets applied to, you can't even do unconditional love and acceptance right.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Oh, expression, vicious circle. Now that qualifies as a vicious circle, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, you and the mentor are going to have a little talk with that voice, right? Because you know that if you have unconditional love and acceptance for another person, you are not holding them to a standard of perfection in every moment of their lives. Quite the opposite.
Yeah, and I feel like that this is sort of what I've been sneaking up on a little bit with all that is just that, something I've been practicing, like, that's not where the joy lives. You know, being right, winning, all that stuff.
Exactly. Being better than everybody?
Yeah.
Let's define loneliness. Right? Now you just became the perfected human being. You think you're going to have a lot of friends? No. No.
Yeah, and I just noticed this weekend just having this experience of someone sort of screwing up things and, you know, and then telling me they were having a bad day and just being able, like, it was just like, I just felt like I was just able to go to this place of like, that's okay. It's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And just,
I know that place.
And I think that's what's available to me when I'm, you know.
That's what center feels like, Laura.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Very good. I tell you, I don't want to make anybody, you know, feel like they got left out or anything, but this, that email class and this year long is a 1-2 punch, isn't it? Because, as you say, getting to have that other view of yourself, it just explains so much. So we're going to have to do this again.
All right.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, what I was watching in that interaction is doing the assignment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Laura actually identified the voices, the beliefs and assumptions, the worldview of that subpersonality.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's wonderful that just because I got talked out of it, I mean, it's what we've been talking about last week, that it's so important to practice becoming aware of the process I'm in. And oftentimes the process that we're in is identified with the very subpersonality that has those beliefs and assumptions and that worldview. And there's a way in which this process assists us to see that and disidentify.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. And as soon as we step back, I mean, all of the things that that Laura was able to see, was able to put together through that one, and of course, the voices wanted to say, yeah, but you didn't do the assignment.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of don't have to do the assignment since we are living the assignment.
Exactly.
It's not like we haven't been paying attention.
Yes. Yes, and it does take that, it does take sometimes that assistance of the processing to get us to the perspective which can see the subpersonality, right?
Yes.
And so that to put yourself in the queue as a way of acknowledging that the that center is something we approach.
Yes.
And that we're willing to do our part in that process.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so that's why we do it together, right?
Yes.
So we need to be in the queue. We need to be in the conversation. We need to be on retreat. We need to be in workshops. We need to be in places where we are getting something reflected to us other than what the voices in the head are saying. Because if we don't, yowza.
Yeah. And the last thing that dropped in is from within the identification, there's no way you can do the assignment because the identification is about not doing the assignment.
Yes. How, in Laura's case, how are you going to remain a substandard person? How are you going to believe that story if you show up and do the,
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Isota here.
Hello, Isota. What are you seeing?
So I am looking. It's so interesting that I'm on because I want to practice talking to you in the light of what I understood. I realized that why I want to practice. To be present and to be guilt, not to be free from guilt, no?
Yes.
And one of the characters that came up now that we were doing the characters things was somebody who always feels that he or she has to explain herself or give a justification, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I am obsessed with having to explain to you why I couldn't make it to a retreat this year and why I'm not coming to the New Year retreat. So, for example, I cannot even meditate without having an imaginary conversation with you, which is not you, no, it's ego, explaining why. So I want to be able to be on the call now without having to explain you why, because I know that you don't need this explanation, you know, and I project acceptance from you. So I really want to prove to ego that this is not what I need to do.
Yes, yes. Because what you know from your experience is that you, authentic being, have unconditional love and acceptance. So the way we would say that is, if you're not coming on retreat this year, you have a very good reason for that. There.
Exactly. And
that's all I need to know. I don't need to know what the details are. I trust your practice.
And most of the time, I trust it too, you know. But I realize that it's a very interesting thing I fall for, you know. And so I'm looking tell me.
Yeah, well, and I would hope that you're seeing how that shows up in other places in your life.
Exactly. This is, I'm noticing with everything. Like, for example, if I can't go somewhere or do something in general, I feel I have to make explain it at great length, you know. So I'm really seeing how this applies to everything. And I really want to train because I know that the people I love trust me, you know. So if I tell dear friends I can't come, they trust that it's not because I hate them, you know.
Exactly.
And I want to train this, you know, using this example.
Yes. And what it comes down to, I would suggest, is you trusting you. And the way that shows up is when we are looking to authenticity rather than to conditioned mind, then you know from your own experience, from your own heart, that what you're choosing is coming from, in quotes, a good place. Ego is there to doubt that, to make you doubt yourself, to make you not trust yourself. Right? That's how it does what it does. And so for you to practice, in this case, just very simply, whenever that arises, it's fine, Isota. You don't have to justify your existence. And let that be a message from the mentor, right? So that you recognize the truth of that as you say it. You don't have to justify your existence. You are.
Oh, you know what dropped in while I was listening? The enormous difference between justifying myself or asking for guidance. You know?
Yes.
Like, if I were to call the other show when there is more time and say, you know, these things are coming up and this is why I can't go, I'm not sure if it's center or conditioning, that would be one way, you know, but it wouldn't be, you know, because this happened, and oh my God, and you know, it's totally different. It's totally different.
Yes. Which is what we're doing in practice, right? If this didn't come up like this, and you weren't practicing, if you weren't practicing, it would come up and you wouldn't know it. But you are practicing, and so you see it, and you see how it's everywhere, and then you see the next piece of it, which is, oh, okay, so not only am I explaining this to other people, it's being explained, I'm being held in this vice grip to keep me from ever questioning deeply the choices I am making. That's a whole new level.
Ah, yes, yes, because it blinds.
You call me, we'll talk.
Exactly, it blinds me on both. You know, I am so excited. It's a super interesting insight. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. It is. Go
Gotcha. Happy. Thank gotcha. You to everyone. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
It is a very inciting, interesting insight, right, Cherry? That part of the extent of suffering because we're made to feel guilty about second guessing our choices, and so.
Yeah.
But what it keeps us in is never trusting life,
Well, yes, and what Usoka managed to see through staying with it is, what's the next layer?
Yeah.
So I was just, I'm going to try to do this quickly, but I was just writing to somebody in the email class this morning, and the conversation was along the lines of, somebody says something to me that's difficult to hear, and I just go into, okay, all right, well, there's something wrong with me, I need to fix it, I need to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And what I saw in that is, we are so busy identifying with ego and taking everything personally that we can't let somebody else have their experience.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's another example of that. We are meant to stay as close to the surface as egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate can keep us, so that we're dealing with this issue that it's identified as the problem, rather than seeing all of the other stuff it's doing to control us that's mm-hmm. below the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it obfuscates conditioned mind also, in us not looking at the subliminal layers of control.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you fight this battle up here. Okay, you worry about, you think about this. You do this. And then all of that other stuff remains hidden.
Mm, yeah. All right.
We are excavators.
Yes, we are. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini. Hey, Sherry. It's Elizabeth.
Hello. Hello, Elizabeth.
I don't even know who it is anymore.
I call this person Elizabeth.
Yes. I don't know what this practice bamboozle is exactly, but it's something along the lines I'm seeing of, if there's, say, like an emotional suffering or emotional challenge, I would just kind of practice my butt off with it until awareness could come in.
Uh-huh.
But if it's the content is like, my pony had an injury, it's total run-of-the-mill, injury, nothing. Not unusual, but it's like somehow the bamboozle is I go straight to survival mode. So mm-hmm. I've been in survival mode for like a week, and the person at center knows, like, this is not a big deal in the larger perspective. It's totally run of the mill. But there's somebody mm-hmm. who's in so much survival mode, it's like, well, we can't even practice with it. We have to just keep doing the next thing to survive.
Well, Elizabeth, I know that it's difficult under these circumstances to imagine this, but that is actually very good news. Because I would bet you, like most of us, have spent a fair amount of your life in survival mode. But it was always believable. So ego could have you focused on the content, and you would just spin around. It's another example of what we were just talking about, right? Wheels are in the ditch, accelerators to the floor, right? And because this is real, this is big, this is a problem. I don't know how I'm going to make it through. This is awful. This is okay. But you've been practicing, and so now here comes this thing that you know is not a big deal, and you're getting to watch how that survival system does what it does. So instead of looking through it, you're watching it. And that is what will make all the difference in its ability to control you in the future.
I feel like there's the bamboozle is somewhere that the content is challenging. It's been challenging
yes.
for me, and I need help. So that makes it on the physical level. So that makes it like I didn't even think to do the two-handed exercise with the person who is so overwhelmed they can barely, goes into overwhelm.
That's
and
right.
they can barely.
That's right. That's right. And so, again, what you're getting to see, because you've stepped back far enough, what you're getting to see is, oh my God, I get so that system has had such a power to control me that when it swoops in, I can't even remember to do the basic things that I know take care of me. Wow. That is impressive.
What now, would I even make as a recording for, like, so that I don't, for the next time?
Well, what you'll be doing is recording about what you're seeing about the bamboozle, okay? Not trying to get out of it, but just watching how it repeats the story, how it makes it a big deal, how it works up your emotions, what happens to your body on a sensation level. How does it take a person over and throw her into the dark room? That's what you're getting to see. Now, will you see it all this time? Probably not. You'll see lots about it. But as you begin to really watch it in the way I'm describing, it's going to go away. Okay? Because it doesn't want to be scrutinized like that. It wants to do what it does in the dark. Right? So it's going to go away. And then probably it's going to say to you, I can't believe you fell for that. That is really stupid. That's a run-of-the-mill injury. Why in the world did you get so upset? Okay? That, it's going to try that. Odds are very, very good. Okay? And then add that to your recordings because that's more of the information that you want to be watching out for. Now, as you go along, it's very likely that there will be things that all conditioned people would agree, that's a big deal, Elizabeth. Okay, that's a really big deal. That is really upsetting. But what you'll be able to see is it's the program is running the same scam. So it doesn't matter to ego whether this is something everybody would agree is legitimately upsetting or this is something that is completely made up in conditioned mind. It's going to run the same program, and that's what you're catching on to.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a recording about how the aperture of awareness closes to 1 millimeter
that
focuses on we need
to
order more gloves, we need to order more bandages, we need to order more this
or
that.
That's right.
And that's the 1 millimeter aperture of awareness.
That's right. Yes. Ashwini talks about it as collapsed awareness. And we can feel what it feels like. Suddenly, that aperture closes to that. And there, it doesn't feel like there is enough light coming through for us even to function.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Go get them. You are so welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It's so true, right, Sherry, the thing that you were pointing to about we know we switched from the process to the content when the movement is to get out of my experience rather than watching or experiencing, right?
Yes.
There's a way in which awareness can witness whatever it is that's going on, but what the conditioning wants to do is to pull us into the believability of whatever is going on.
Yes, exactly. And what you said, that for those first few words are the deal, okay? We can know what's happening with us when we move from wanting to be present to what's going on to wanting to escape it.
Yeah.
We can know we've gone from process to content. We've gone from the light room to the dark room. Okay, I just want this to be over. I just want to be out of this. Okay, we can know we're identified with ego, and it's pulling us into that survival place that Elizabeth was describing.
Yeah, and the survival place is a collapsed awareness place because that is the attempt. Close down the awareness to the point that only ego's, the only available experiences what ego is, or is ego. And so that ability to bring awareness to a collapsed awareness place in order to expand the awareness for something else to be available, that's really a skill that we train in, exactly the way you and Elizabeth were talking about it. So I have a recording.
Yeah.
that assists me to know what it feels like to be in that survival place. And when I listen to it, it will occur to me in the survival place that this is a survival place, and what I need to train to do is to open the aperture of awareness. That's how practice
right.
works.
Yeah, and that opening the aperture is like turning up a dimmer switch,
yes.
right? So I'm in the dark, right? That aperture is so small, all I can see is ego, okay?
Yeah.
And so I just bringing awareness to that is yeah. opening that aperture,
yeah.
Turning the lights up. Yeah.
yeah. And we train
and
that
we don't
too,
have
right?
to be good at it, right?
No.
We don't have to be good at it. We're just, as you say, we're just training in this.
Yes. And it's such a process arc. You don't know it at first, and then you find out about it, and then you practice with it, and then you can actually go from being practicing with it to being skillful. And that
yeah.
we just accept
yeah.
that as the process of transformation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just how it works.
That's
how it works. And both Isoda and Laura were talking about once we catch on to it, we start seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's not some isolated something. I just never saw it before. So now
that's
I've
it.
Seen it. Now I'm talking to the recorder and the mentor about it. Whoa. I'm seeing it everywhere. This is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that brings
so
us
good.
To the end of the show, Sherry, and our assignment for today, draw portraits of the aspects of ego you've seen. Jot down what each says, RL.
All right. Here we go. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you,
everybody.